Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Is he still at it?
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people.
Yeah.
Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
Yes, guy, 22nd of May, you know. Welcome to Sweet Talking Sport. It's Friday, and it's this time. I've got CV with me.
Yeah. Good evening. Yeah, it's nice today, but and it's hot, isn't it? It's hot. Tropical. You know what I mean? It's hot.
Yeah, it's absolutely wicked out there, you know. And we're going to make it even hotter. So you got us for the next hour, you know. And this is Straight to the Point chat show that deals with the latest sports news and stories, both with interviews drawing a modern day audience that fit today's modern day society, devoting entirely to discussions on sporting events, whether local or whether international. Good to go on an expansive debate analysed by CV and myself today as part of the regular programming. Probably Yorkshire's best talking chat show. Excuse me, you're ever here. So without further ado, I hope nobody's listening out there, but if you are, please keep this to yourself and all the contents you'll hear. We're going to jump straight in. And I'm going to go into that Spygate business, because a lot of things have gone off, and it was the championship playoff. Obviously, we're talking about Southampton and Middlesbrough. You know, I'm going to drop the pros and the cons about this, because I know in our chat, you know, Mo were just saying, you know, that Borough are there and they're not going to appeal, and they had to appeal, whether they won it or not. That is a different thing, you know. So, Southampton was expelled. Borough got the blight. Yeah, on that. And for those people who don't know, the first leg they drew 0-0, and then Southampton beat Borough in the second leg 2-1. Southampton, you know, came clean. They said that they'd been spying on other clubs also as well. But do people feel sorry for the Southampton fans? Because some of them, in fact thousands of them, would have probably bought
tickets, arrangements, yeah.
Yeah.
Your hotel stuff.
Hotel fees, yeah. Planning the journeys and stuff, taking, you know, long weekends off work and stuff. And also, do the players suffer as well? Because they never was instrumental in that. They never said to the boss or the coaching staff or the analyse people, you know, we need to kind of like spy on them and get some information. So, you know, I don't know whether some of them will be looking at their contracts in the summer and saying to the agent, look, I'm not a part of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had a chance to play in the Premiership, and that's got taken away by, you know, by our boss,
mm-hmm.
who kind of gave him the signal to set the wheels
in motion, innit?
Yes, Aya, you know? To be honest with you, I do feel for them players missing out on potentially, they call it the biggest prize in football. You know, missing out on what? 200 mil?
It's 200 mil, yeah. Yeah.
You know? And then you've got the fans, like I said, you know, you know, it's all a mess. I mean, people might have thought, do you know what? Is that a little bit too severe or not? You know? I mean, the EFL regulations, it doesn't say that if you spy on an opponent, you get expelled if you meet the playoff finals. I just wanted to open that up and what you actually think about that.
If you what? Say that again. If you what?
Yeah, it you know, people could argue it doesn't say in the EFL regulations,
yeah,
that if you spy,
right,
or spying on your opponents,
okay,
and if you get catch, you're not expelled from the playoff finals if you make it.
No, it doesn't say that. Just like there was no rules when my man from Leeds did it.
That's
he just
right.
They just got a fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I believe they've put rules in place, haven't they, now?
Yes, that's correct.
Right. So I think it's a bit harsh to expel them, to be fair. I do. I think it's a bit harsh for them to expel them. But they did do what they did, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
They did what they... And it wasn't just once. It was more than once.
Yeah, multiple occasions.
That's the thing. If it was just the Middlesbrough game, then yeah. But it was more than once. So, I don't know. But I do feel sorry for the fans. Because obviously, they're thinking of, yeah, just think, if we win this, we're back in the Premier.
That's right. And they only come down, didn't they?
This season. Yeah, it's only this season. Yeah, they've come down. Yeah.
So, I mean, the question is it too proportionate to what the punishment is? Because, you know, they got booted out, expelled, whatever way you want to say that. And then also got docked 4 points for next season as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, basically, you're talking, they've been punished twice, haven't they? They've been punished twice,
mm-hmm.
Right? I just think it's just a little bit over the top with the expelling of them.
What kind of like fits that punishment? Would you just say a fine? I would have said
definitely, right, a fine.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a fine.
Would you have kicked him out of the playoffs?
I wouldn't have kicked him out. I've made that perfectly clear in other mm-hmm. discussions I've had.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't have kicked him out. No, no.
I mean, it's kind of like, I agree. I think the punishment is severe. And I can see why they've been booted out, but to be taxing them points also as well, you know. I think the reason why the points wasn't as severe because they probably would appeal. I don't know, if they'd have said, for argument's sake, we're going to give you 9 points deduction, they'd have probably appealed, waste more time. And also, it probably might have just dropped down to four. 4 points, you're not going to bother appealing that. That's like a win and a draw.
It is.
It's not really, you know...
It's not what you would class as deep. A hefty punishment, is it?
No. It's not deep at all, that, you know. But it's like on May the 7th, 2 days before Middlesbrough's home leg v Southampton, a staff member was hiding behind a tree, you know, and they said that filming probably most likely be live stream. So streaming it back to the Southampton people, them, that Southampton hierarchy. So when he got alerted, guy chipped into the golfing club, changed clothes, and he was ID'd as a first team analyst. So this got investigated following that incident and before the semi-final. Southampton was charged with spying 8th of May, and on the 9th the two teams played. On the 12th of May, Saints said they need to conduct their own internal review and wanted more time. I mean, you're talking a 10-hour round trip from Southampton
to Borough.
To Borough. You know, is it worth it? People might say, well, no, but I mean, potentially 200 million on the flip side of that, you know? And they just got to play it again. So, yeah, like you said, you're quite right. The rules have changed since that, and they've become more kind of stringent. So, yeah, we're in agreement that it is kind of like too harsh. I mean, CV's saying that he wouldn't have booted them out. I think for me, might have been one or the other.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, now, I definitely wouldn't have booted them out because it's not the players' fault.
100%. I totally agree with that.
The players are on there doing their job, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this guy was obviously being told to do it from further up, mm-hmm. right? Now, the manager, my understanding, when he was contacted and when people tried to do an interview with him, 5 times he walked out.
Wow.
The Southampton manager. That's my understanding. 5 times he avoided the issue of talking about
him if he was a cheat and that, if he was a thief, innit?
Right. And 5 times he walked out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the guy who's done that hasn't done that off his own back, has he?
True.
He has been instructed to do that.
Yep.
Right. So, as far as I'm concerned, really, right, it's not really the players, them. I would have said, right, we're going to fine you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But we're fining you maybe 600 million. So it was a tough fine.
Mm-hmm.
So they would feel it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But to kick them out, no, I think, nah, that's just a little bit too much for me.
They're punishing the fans, them, innit? And the players, innit? You know? I mean, could have said to the manager, in certain countries, they've kind of like said, do you know what? Expel the manager, take him out. Whoever's involved in that, take them out, ban them from football for a year. So they could have made it personal. So if it's, I don't know, the manager, if he signalled it and his idea, punish him, but don't punish the players and the fans. Yeah, some kind of hard talking here. What a fiasco, Aguan, you know? So, yeah, Friday the 22nd into listening to Sweet Talking Sport, I've got CV right, Yasso, you know, 18-12. And I want to kind of like flip it now and then go into a little bit of gymnastics, really. And this is a bit of a kind of like sad kind of like story, really. You know, the British Gymnastics says it will replace the independent complaints process set up after concerns over treatment of gymnastics following criticism from victims of abuse. Yeah? So what's been happening is that they're being asked to train, to go through their things, knowing that they're carrying an injury and stuff. Yeah? So an independent report into practice across Britain Gymnastics back in June 22nd describe somatic physical and emotional abuse in the sport and found gymnasts' well-being and welfare had not been at the centre of British gymnastics culture. You know, there was the head of gymnastics said that some athletes had broken bones. And others spoke up of culture, of a fear, since they, several gymnasts, have taken legal action against their governing body. I mean, you know, can you imagine back in the days if kind of like Fiwi was in a them gymnastics and, you know, you'd be like saying, oh, Mum, I've got to go down and train. I'd be saying, train what? Train what? You know?
Right.
If my mother did go down there and say, right, listen, let me tell you something. If my son now about a train today, you know. You know, see how in foot broke up.
You know what I mean? You're going to get it on them kind of levels. So I think where were them parents, you know, sticking up for them? Do you know what I mean?
I think maybe
and, the authorities putting pressure upon the people of them.
I think out of order. I think
it's
the parents was probably, they were, especially if the child was looking quite good, they wouldn't want to rock the boat, would they? So because they don't want to rock the boat, they're allowing things to go. But really, it's your child's health that you're allowing to go.
100%.
Really. So to me, it was like when my two daughter them did a swimming back in the day, right? And I'm talking back in the day. I'm talking over 30-odd years ago, right? And there was a teacher, a swimming instructor down at Ponds Forge. I'm just going to say there, but I'm not going to say nothing else. Right, and why was very tough with the youth them, very tough with them. So one and in a one session they did come and say, well, oh, she didn't want them go up in the next group, right? But there'd be a lot more training in this group when they went up there. So I asked my daughters first, do you want to do it? Them said no. So the woman, let me tell the woman that, the woman start going away. And start going and but oh, this rare. So me did have to tell the woman politely.
Can you repeat the kind of words what you kind of said?
I had to tell her that those children belong to me. And their health.
What a fiasco.
And their health is what I'm interested in. Because I am the parent. And I have to look after them. Right? And if I believe that they're not enjoying it and they don't want to, that's how it will be. They're not going to do it. Simple as that. Right? So for me, if my kids were doing gymnastics and me see for them foot bottom, the foot bottom them, you know, the foot bottom does mash, right? And sometimes, you know, like out in a shoe here when it lean, like do a wedge. You know, like that. Yeah. So me would have just said no. You know, see for them foot lean. You know, they're not doing it. But they are willing to say, yeah, all right then, yeah, they'll bring and prepared to put their children's health on the line. So no. Them should have stand up strong to them, because remember I feed them pitney, I them birth them.
Yeah, quite true that.
But I better go back in and sort of translate that. So what I'm saying is, they're your kids, and you have to look after them. And if you're seeing that things aren't right and your child is not enjoying something or your child is in pain, you do something about it. You talk to the instructor. Simple. As simple as that. So, yeah, that's all I can say on that particular side. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, you know, and it's not the kind of like first time we're kind of like hearing things like that come out, you know, in the sporting kind of like field, really. And it's just kind of like sad when, you know, you've got the younger ones or the coaches putting pressure on them to perform and, you know, knowing that they're not.
100%.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of. It's kind of proper crazy, isn't it? You know? That they can put people in that kind of like environment. Yeah, this is 18-19 Sweet Talking Sport, Friday the 22nd, listeners of CB and myself. If you've missed the kind of like opening part of the show, you know, we kind of like had a little kind of like discussion about this Spygate scandal. Is there a sport, excuse me, is there a sport that you know that there hasn't been any teeth in, you know? Because it's if there's an opportunity and money's at stake, you know, whether it's the football business with the spy business, the gymnastic, them are pressure, they pitting them to perform on them, and them have broke up foot and all that, something there, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like getting a bit ridiculous. Okay, we're going to flip it once more. And do you know something? I weren't really going to go in at this because I'm not kind of feeling it, but if I'm around, I will watch it for a bit, and I've got the opportunity to flip it if I think it's been fudged. Now, we're talking about Usyk. He gets back in the ring against Verhoeven, the Dutch guy. Verhoeven is 37 years old. Usyk is 39. So, as we know, Usyk, well-publicised guy from Ukraine. He's not really putting his titles on the line. You know, Usyk is the, unified, which is WBA, WBC, IBF, heavyweight champ. Now, Verhoeven, he holds the moniker or the nickname for the Prince of Kickboxing, undisputed. He was at his best between 2013 and 2025. And nobody could kind of like really touch him, you know? So people were saying that, how come these guys have kind of like put Verhoeven as a mandatory challenger for this title? Well, the titles aren't on the line. I can say that. The WBC, they sanctioned the fight. And I wonder, do you know, for me, whether they're getting a cut out of it or not? You know what I mean? Is this another kind of teething situation, you know, what we're seeing? I mean, Usyk now, like I said, WBA not at stake. IBF title belt, that would become vacant if Usyk was to lose this fight. And the status of Usyk would come under review, yeah? So people might say, well, Verhoeven potentially could become the WBA title, but as far as I'm concerned, he's only eligible to fight for that because he's not ranked anywhere in line, yeah? So if you look at the tail of the tape, like I said, Usyk 39 and Verhoeven 37. Not really much between them.
Not really.
You know, Usyk 24 fights. Verhoeven's only had one pro boxing fight before that because, you know, his transition, from kickboxing to boxing. So he's only had one tear up before that. Usyk 15 KOs. Verhoeven 1. Height, Usyk is just a little bit smaller, 6'3", and Verhoeven is 6'5". Same amount of reach. Obviously, it goes without saying that Usyk has got more rounds under his belt. So like I said, not all on the line, so people out there, don't get confused with this. Usyk belts aren't at stake. So it's what you call it, like a low risk fight. So you've got WBA, IBF, WBC.
Well, they're not up for grabs, are they?
Not up for grabs at all. That's my understanding of this tier up. Yeah. And then them belts will become vacant if Usyk was to lose. Verhoeven isn't ranked by the sanctioning body, so that kind of like explains that. So I mean, the question
needs to be asked though, you know, if you're kind of like look at that and you're thinking, well, is this fight, is it worth it then? Are they worth, you know, is this fight, should it be sanctioned? Well, you've got to look at the board for that. And are they getting anything out of it? And like for me, sometimes people might ask me, you know, who do you want to win this fight? And I say, well, you just want boxing to win, as long as there's no teeth in. But not only are the judges spinning it sometimes, but you've got the people at the top who sanction the fights. Do you know what I mean?
Why do you think they sanctioned them?
Maybe there's some lollipop in it for them.
There you go.
You know what I mean? You know? So, yeah, a little bit.
Everybody eats a food.
That is so true. That is so true. You can't get away from that. I wanna go into this thing. I wanna jump on this next thing as well, because and I'm glad you're on here, because you know there's no better man to have on your show when you're chatting about Man City than Mr. City himself. So I'm gonna just kinda open up a conversation, discuss a few things, and after when I've done, we can go in at it big time. So you got to think, why is Pep leaving Man City? Like I said, I'll just chat him out, and then after that I get a CV, the signal, and then we can just rip it to pieces. Yeah, hopefully, you know, people listening to on the radio will kind of appreciate this. Some might have been on the fence, some might be, you know, saying a bit dodgy that move, but anyway, let's go in at it. So like I said, the questions need to be asked. Pep's departing, yeah, you know, 115 charges is coming. Probably the verdict will be out before the World Cup, which starts in June. So I've done like a little timeline business, yeah? May 2020, Pep asked about financial allegations. And Pep come out with a statement. I'm not going to say all the statement, but just a little line just to whet the appetite. If you lie to me, next year me gone. Yeah, I'm not here. CV probably will be able to remember that little statement there.
That's what Pep said.
Yeah.
That's what Pep. Yeah.
So basically, Pep's been defending the club for 3 years.
Yep.
Which is quite rightly. They're in players. I see nothing wrong with that. Defend, defend, defend. So we're talking about this part, 2009 to 2018, nine-year period, which covers charges over. Yeah. Fast forward 4 years, charges to be announced. We're talking about the narrative here, or the story. 10 years, project complete, Pep moving on. So you could say that he's done 10 years at the club, and we'll talk about his achievements a little bit later on as well. So summary, for those or not really keeping up too tough. So February 2023, Premier League, former Chargers, Man City, with kind of like 115 alleged breaches of financial rules. Just stay with me, people, yeah? And then you've got a period, like I said, between 2009 2018, 9 year period, including financial information, player and management compensation, UEFA, FFP regulations, profitability and sustainability rules, PSR, failure to comply to cooperate with the Premier League investigations. That's probably the easiest one for me, in my opinion, that, you know, which is a bit fudged up. So fast forward again, we've had a hearing, a 12-week hearing back in 2024, from September to December. 500,000 pieces of evidence reviewed. Both sides presented their case. 18 months down the line, pure silence, nothing
quiet until now. Now we'll open up this discussion of where you're at, what Pep's done for the club, his legacy, best in the business on these shores, with beyond doubt. What's likely, in fact, we'll just open up. What do you think to all that, CV? Where'd you start? Where'd you finish?
Right. We've been talking about this 115 points thing for the past, what, 2 or 3 years. And as far as I'm concerned, right, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. As far as that, I'm talking about me, right? If it's going to happen, it's going to happen, right? But it's taking a long time. Now, Mr. Pep Guardiola, and I'm going on from my understanding and from what I've witnessed in the last 10 seasons that he has been in charge of Manchester City. What a lot of people tend to forget about City is Manchester City won things before Pep came. And when I've said this before, I hear people saying, what? And I said, yeah. Remember, Manchester City had already won the league, the Premier League, twice already before Pep came. They'd won the FA Cup. They'd won the League Cup. The FA Cup, they won under Mancini. That was the season before they won the league, the first time. The season after that is when we had the Aguero and they won. Again, won with Mancini. They then let Mancini go. And then we got Pellegrini. And he won the league and the League Cup. So it's not like Manchester City was just in the background and they wasn't pulling up any trees or they weren't doing. They'd already won big cups already before he come. When he come, he was brought in for to go to the next level, and the next level was for Manchester City to win the Champions League. That's what the next level was. That's what he was brought in to do. And he come in, and in his first year, he finished, I think we finished about third. We didn't win anything. And you had people saying, the doubters saying, you can't play that kind of football here. Not in the Premier League. Yeah, in La Liga, but not here. Right. When he didn't win nothing, everybody's saying, see, can't do it. The second one now, what happens? He wins the league. And there onwards, he's just progressed. And if you ask anybody now, he's changed the structure of football. Even your teams in non-league are trying to play from the back. Right? So he's brought different styles. Right? You've got a left back up front, coming up front, O'Reilly, and scoring goal. Left back. And he's not even a left back. His proper position is midfield. But when you see him, you'd think, yeah. You've got other people like, he come to the club as a midfield player. He plays in midfield for Portugal. Nunes. But we play him as right back. So he's just a lot of different things. He's brought a lot of things into football, a lot of different methods. Right? People say he's a genius. He probably is. You got what, 13? We've got 13 seasons so far. 13. We've won the he's won the Premier League himself, has won the Premier League 6 times. But the club has won it 8 times. Right? So, if I'm being honest with you, right, it's not a great deal more you can he can do with the club. The club, he's won everything with the club. I'm gonna just,
yeah, I mean,
bear with me.
It is, you know, I mean, you know, like CV says, you know, won it 8 times, but under Pep, won the Premier League 6 times, Champions League once, FA Cup 3 times, Cup 5 times, and Community Shield 3, FIFA World Cup once, and UEFA Super Cup once. So very much silvered up big time from head to toe. But what people are saying is this decision, right?
Yeah.
I'll say it again, this decision,
yeah,
the liability judgment, basically court decision,
right,
which says one party is legally responsible or liable to the other party. Is Pep, this is the big question that people want to ask, and we are asking it today, 22nd of May,
right,
1836. Is Pep jumping ship before that verdict come out?
I don't believe
so. Is it just a coincidence? As my mother would say, either or either. Pep announces that he's done, end of the season, and he's got
another year, another season.
But even though, you know, to be fair, got a little clause in his contract what allows him to come out of that. Is it a miscarriage of justice? You know, meaning not guilty. Let them walk free, because that is an option, you know. Or, like I said, is Pep just taking advantage? Is it just the timing? Taking advantage of his clause in his contract, which apparently runs out June 27th. You know what I mean? But remember what Pep said. If you lie to me, be gone.
Yep.
Nobody lied to me.
Yep, he said that.
The verdict's coming out.
Right.
You know, people say a couple of weeks. I think it'll be out maybe before the World Cup.
Right.
And then the World Cup can put plasters over it.
Okay.
Because people will be talking about the World Cup, not talking about Man City, what they got.
Right.
I think that is significant.
Are you talking, say, like the World Cup will be like a smokescreen?
Yeah. So whatever happens, either way,
right,
you know, because if City win, and then you're going to have them league bosses with egg on them face.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if City lose it,
right,
I think it's going to be, I mean, to be honest with you, I've always said it's going to be fine and points.
Right.
I think that's more manageable,
right,
than anything else. People are saying, oh, Mafia, Lego this cup and Lego that ain't gonna happen. I'm telling you that from now, that ain't gonna happen. People say, oh, they're gonna have to come out to the league. That ain't gonna happen. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
The easiest way to manage this situation is to fling points on them, whether it's 6, whether it's
20.
8,
yeah.
But if it's a lot, they're obviously going to appeal, and then it'll get reduced.
Right.
The fine, I don't think they'll probably appeal that. But like I said, the easiest thing for them to get done for is not cooperating.
Right. Yeah.
That's the simplest thing. You know what I mean? But the quietness for 18 months suggests that it hasn't been an easy ride for none of them. You know what I mean? Behind the scenes, kept quiet and stuff like that. But I've always said, and I'll stick to that. I'll stick my chest out to that. you know, that there's going to be some kind of fine, some kind of points deduction, you know, okay, you'll have the appeal process and stuff like that, and that'll come out before the World Cup. World Cup comes out, everybody's forgotten about it. Plasters. You call it sticky plaster. You know what I mean?
Like I said, you call it, for me, you call that smoke screen. Right? Now, for me, I think if it was plain sailing and the Premier League had what they had, the enough, you know, evidence, right, to prosecute, well, yeah, to say, right, Manchester City, we know for definite you've done this and you did that, right? I believe the Premier League would have done them already. But it's not as easy as that. Because City have got some high power lawyers. So it's not that easy. And Manchester City are paying. Right? So they will go through every loophole, every make sure everything, right? To make sure that, yeah, if you're going to accuse this club, you better get on a fax them right. Yeah, you better get on a fax them right, because if you're going to get them fax them right, I mean, and you, you know, like your mother would have said when you come in and she ask you, where you been? And you come with some different story. And Mrs. Brown down the road, so I say, you, miss him down the road, I do this. Some mother would say to you, me go and ask you again, and you better get for your facts them right. Mm-hmm. Because I'm me and you. That's what's happening with City, with the Premier League. Them better get for them facts them right, because I honestly believe this now. Mm-hmm. If they'd got enough ammunition, they would have flung the book at City already. But they haven't. They haven't, right? And that's why we're still doing some little stalling. We're still messing. Because for me, and everybody else say, no. City. At the end of the day, Manchester City are not just going to sit there and just allow them to be accused of this. They're going to fight it, aren't they? Right? And that is what they're doing.
100%, you know, fight it, yes. You know, it's they're in their right to fight it, to defend it. I mean, you know, we're talking about 500,000 pieces of evidence. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. And we can only brandish them kind of like figures. It's not like we're going to read what they are and publish this and publish that. You know what I mean? I get that, you know. And then, you know, you've got different sides of the scope, because, like, you've got, you know, you've got your other clubs, what, you know, what, Everton, points deduction, points deduction.
But they're all each different. Case is different, yeah,
I get that, but the thing is well, is how
quickly they've gone through them.
Action, boom, 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 yeah, boom. And we know about them.
Yeah.
But this one, it's and
you're perfectly right. They dealt with the issue near enough straight away, yeah? And that's why people keep saying, oh, yeah, but it's not right. When this team did it, when Everton did this, when mm-hmm. Forest did this, mm-hmm. when they did that. Well, going back to what I just said, if the Premier League had enough for them to stick on it now, you know, think so then would I do the same? If they had enough.
Yeah, you've got a perfectly good argument there. And I think if anybody coming at this debate, you'd say, yeah, that's reasonable.
But I don't want to be rude or nothing, but I'm not saying at all that maybe Manchester City haven't done anything. And just remember, that is my club. I'm not saying that they haven't done anything, right? I'm just saying, oh, no, I have to prove it. That's what I'm saying. It has to be proven.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And right up to now, nothing's been proved. So you can keep going on and on about these 115. I mean, I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and he was an Arsenal man, a Gooner. And we all know that the Gooners have won the Premier League, yeah? So I said to this particular gentleman, right, who is at my place, I said to him, I'm aware that the Gunners have won the champion, the Premier League. I said to him, but just sit back and enjoy it, because it has took you a long time to get that, to win it. So just sit back and enjoy the because it's an honour to win the Premier League. It's a hard league to win. So they've won it, so just sit back and enjoy it. Don't be jumping up and down and start talking about your Premier. Everybody knows that, and that how you're gonna dominate it and everything. Because like I said to the Liverpool fan last year, when they won it, exactly the same, and they kind of started to run the mouth off a little bit. And I said to him, "Well done, you've won it. A good team, let's see if you're a good side now. Win it again next season. Because that's when you start seeing whether the team consistent now. They're a top side." Now, as you know, and I know, and everybody else knows, we're still searching for Liverpool, aren't we? Yeah, we're still searching for them, right? Because they're certainly not in the top four. So there's no consistency there, is there? Right?
Too true.
Arsenal, they've won it this season, right? And fair dues to them. Let's see if you win it again next season. Because I'll say again, I said the reason why Manchester City didn't win it, because they wasn't good enough, right? Just like the last three seasons, Arsenal didn't win it because they wasn't good enough.
Yeah, I think for me, I'd like to see, I'm not jumping off the topic or the subject, I'd like to see more teams in at that fight, you know what I mean? Instead of the two team them, you know, whether it's Arsenal and City, whether it's, you know, Liverpool and City or
And I totally agree, you know? Because it makes the league a lot more interesting.
100%.
Because it just like Scotland this year, Scotland's division became a lot more interesting when Hearts was in on the brink of winning it. Even the Motherwell was up there at one point.
See,
right? So that league became a lot more interesting. People were taking more interest in it.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Whereas, like you said, in the English Premier League, you're talking about the major two. But with all due respect, I just need to mention that we wasn't even favourites. We wasn't even our names wasn't even mentioned in this. It was the people to win this league was Arsenal, like who have won it, and Liverpool. Manchester City wasn't brought in it because we were classed as a transition team, a team in transition.
I remember that as well. You know,
let's look at the league. Let's look at it. Man City have done really well because they've pushed the so-called the champions right to the brink of it with a transition team, and they win doubles. No doubles. They win domestic.
Yeah, the league table doesn't lie, you know. And
so at the end of the day,
they've collected good.
City for me, I've had a wonderful year, absolute wonderful season. Yeah, so you know, I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, it's like going back on the the debate and the topic and that.
Go on.
Would that kind of like? Do you think it would spoil anything?
What, if you got the 115, you'll prove guilty for that?
Well, I don't believe it will be 115, but I think they'll be guilty on some, yeah.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Because we know that the 115, they doubled up and, do you know what I mean? It was kind of like accumulated or something. Can't really explain it now, but basically they doubled them up.
Go on.
So, for argument's sake, let's say we're 15, just for an argument's sake, and guilty of not cooperating with the Premier League. So a fine point. I do believe it's going to be something like that.
Right.
Even though clubs, other supporters will be wanting the book thrown at them. And there'll be some of that, you know, from the 115, there'll be some inconclusive.
Yeah,
can't prove it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, fair enough. And that's not to say, if you can't prove something, it's not to say that you're innocent or guilty. Just to mean that on this occasion,
we can't
prove it. So there's going to be some of them. Some's going to be guilty.
Right.
Some's going to be inconclusive. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And some, it's like, not so sure. But, you know, and that's the way it is, isn't it, out there? So, you know, if you've just kind of joined us, listen to the last part of Sweet Talking Sport. I'm here with CB. It's 18:50 on Friday, the 22nd of May, discussing Man City. You know, Pep. Sorry, I'll start with the league. They're saying that, you know, it's imminent. It's going to be announced soon. We soon announce it.
Okay.
What's going to happen to Man City? And then Pep says, do you know what? Me gone. One more game and then me gone.
Right.
So then people are jumping on the bandwagon and saying, am I wrong way?
Okay.
Captain did spike, we in it. Captain did send a signal during the week to say, yeah, am I wrong way?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I just think it's questionable. It's the timing, and he is in his right to do it because he's got the little clause. So that's his kind of like way out.
Okay.
But they negotiated that clause. Was it last season or the season before or something like that?
No, it was
because when that the rumors with the England job and all that.
Yeah, he had another 2 year, didn't he, to his contract?
Yeah, I think it was that time, innit, when they did speak to him about the England job.
They did speak to him, yeah.
But decided, you know, whether for whatever reason that's not really being public. He's just saying it's total good luck to him and that's it. Mm-hmm. He won't really talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's always said that he wants to run an international side. That's to remain to be seen. I'm sure that will happen also as well. But yeah, what will be must be. We've got to wait a little bit longer. And also, what they're saying is that, you know, what potentially is going to happen. Well, you know, City win, they get cleared, they, you know, can walk away. Will they walk away or would they push for compensation? Because
it's costing
the club some serious con as well. So that's a possibility, you know, can be thrown in the mix. You know,
and it can also be charged.
That's right.
Right.
Also be charged, rightly so.
Like I said, and if they are charged and it's found that they are guilty, then they have to take the punishment, don't they?
Yeah. And is Pep just leaving because 10-year project's completed?
It's
see you
long,
later, bye-bye.
It's
know?
The longest club he's been at.
You know?
Right. The man's tired. He's done, he's won everything.
Like or, is it a case of he knows something else?
We don't know that.
When
that's
said,
what people.
Know?
That's what people are thinking, right?
And
so let them think.
And I think they've got a right to think like that because, like I said, is it just a coincidence? 2020, like I said, not going to go through it all, but the day after me gone, if you lie to me, you know. But we will see, and I think when the verdict does come out, it's not going to end there. It's just not going to end there and go away. There's still going to be some crumbs off the plate what you have to pick up, you know, and just sort them out. You know, it's not going to be conclusive or this is it or there's no appeal or anything like that. You know what I mean? So, you know, I just don't want people to think that when this verdict comes out, it's happy days, you know, see you later type of stuff, you know? But yeah, that's kind of
that's kind of big. Just going into the last few minutes of the show, 1854, we've got the semi-final playoffs between Hull City
and Middlesbrough tomorrow.
And Middlesbrough, yeah. You know, biggest prize in a football cinema. Winners take all. It's kind of interesting game because obviously Hull City got a big Mac Burney up front. I like Mac Burney. I see a lot of things about him, mixed feelings on the cop when he played for United. People around me, nah, big lump, I'm and all them kind of something there. But them same people who have been dissing him, I hear him said that they wouldn't mind having him back. You know what I mean? Matt Burney, I think he's got about 17 goals this season.
Oh, for Hull?
He's been on fire.
Okay.
And there's a few ex-United man, Egan. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know about Matt Burney. Mm-hmm. You have Lundstrom. Mm-hmm. And you have that Slater. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Who apparently United want back in midfield. Mm-hmm. I think he's a good player, but I think he's a little bit on the small side, to be honest with you. There's no big smaddy. There's no stature there. So looking forward to that match. Anybody's game.
What
for me.
What time is that on?
3:30, I do half believe. Kickoff is 3:30. So looking forward to it. Mm. I think for me, whoever plays the best football on the day, you know, for me that's who I want to win. As long as it's a good game, I think the first 20 minutes cancelling each other out. What it probably needs is an early goal from any side, and that will open it up. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm hoping that there's a goal going to be scored in the first 20 minutes, whether it's Borough, whether it's Hull City. I don't business, but I just want an early goal to make it a little bit more exciting for the neutral.
To be fair, I'm not really bothered, to be fair. But obviously my future son-in-law, he will be, because he's from Hull. So he is obviously going to want Hull to win.
Has he come out with any kind of score prediction or anything like that?
Well, he's from there, and but he's not a big Hull City fan. He's more in the rugby league. He obviously wants Hull, his brother and that, they're all Hull City fans. So they're all hoping that Hull beat them. But I haven't heard no score predictions, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And then obviously you've got the last Premier League games, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
And we're at home to Villa. That'll be probably...
It's just going to be like a party thing, you know?
Because what will happen is they'll bring the two trophies out,
mm-hmm.
the League Cup and the FA Cup, right? And then obviously the big talking will be Pep, because Pep will give his little talkings, right?
True.
So that's basically what that's going to be. So,
4:00 kickoff, that one. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's on Sunday, that.
Yep. Uh-huh. And then Arsenal will be locking it up.
Why not?
They're at Palace away.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about nothing. Palace are not going to be bothered, because Palace are in their own cup final, aren't they? They've got the Euro Conference, so they're not going to be bothered. You can't see them trying to win the game, because they're more interested in holding back some of their players, because they've got that big the Euro Conference.
I think for me, on Sunday will be Tottenham against Everton.
That's
obviously West Ham against Leeds. West
Ham
will be hoping that Spurs split up.
That's right.
And then they've got to win.
That Everton go there and be
and
winning
and broke them up.
And then they have to beat Leeds.
I've got to be honest with you. I think obviously
Tottenham only need a draw.
It favours Spurs.
Yeah,
all day long.
Yeah.
And I think the way that they will set up on Sunday is play with no fear, because recently they've been playing fairly sharp, looking good. I can't see the last game of the season Spurs going down. Now if West Ham did have won their last game,
yeah, it would have been different.
Yes, that's firework time. That's November the 5th. That's Guy Fawkes, you know what I mean? But yeah, it looks like that they'll be coming to the lane. West Ham. And a lot of United fans would favour that because of what they did when Tevez and Mascarona or something like that. And Brooking had something to do with it too. So United took the little con, the rest is history.
Yeah.
They should have got that points. 1859. Hope we've